Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Can't touch this.
Okay, how long do we go for?
I don't know.
What else happens in that song?
He raps. It's a classic 90s feel good about yourself rap. Okay, what?
He wears cool pants.
Yeah, and yeah, he does have the coolest pants. I'm not even wearing pants. I got shorts on. I'm jealous. Today, if you know the connection, you know the connection, because welcome. You're listening to the Command Zone podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai.
Back in the saddle
together again.
We're talking about Warhammer, MC Hammer, 40K cards.
40,000, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah, 40,000, sure.
Whatever. Warhammer 40K, Commander pre-constructed decks. They've arrived. They're out. You've probably seen the new game nights about it. They got a ton of spicy new cards. These decks are crazy because there's 40 new cards each.
So many. It's like the first days of Commander all over again.
Yeah, so it kind of feels like it's a whole set. We decided we're not going to do a full-on set review of every new Legendary and every new card for this. What we're going to do in this episode is just kind of talk about our favorites from the set, because we've got Infinity we've got to move on to, and then right away Brothers War is right around the corner. So
yeah,
we are not going to do full coverage like we have done for all the sets in the past, just because there's not time. And, you know, I think the Warhammer 40K, there's a lot of cool stuff, but there's not, you know, we don't need to talk about 80 of the cards or something. I think 20 is going to probably do it.
Yeah, and of course, the discussion always continues online. We talk about cards on Twitter, in the comments below as well. And there's lots to cover, so we're just going to talk about some of our favorites. And, you know, a place you might want to go if you want to pick up some of those favorites. Or if there's a card that you didn't even know existed until this episode, well, cardkingdom.com/command has got you covered. Card Kingdom is our sponsor for the show. By buying products from them, by using the affiliate link, you're also supporting Game Nights, Command Zone, all the stuff we do here at the office. And you're going to get the cards you need really quickly in great condition and with awesome customer service. One of the things we always hear about Card Kingdom is that if something is wrong, something goes awry with an order, they are very quick to fix it and to hear what has happened and help out. And that kind of service, you know, it goes with a trusted name, and that's why we've been sponsored by Card Kingdom for so long.
Yeah, they really do go above and beyond. And the other really big thing I think about Card Kingdom that's like top of mind when somebody says the name Card Kingdom that I think of is shipping speed.
Yeah,
they get you cards the fastest. If you know you're going to be playing, you know, next Wednesday Commander with your pals, and you've built a new deck online and got the list, if you order through Card Kingdom, they're going to get you the stuff faster than anybody else, and you'll have it in time for your Commander Night or whatever. And of course, once you get the cards, you want to make sure they stay in really good condition. Ultra Pro is the game accessories brand that Jimmy and I trust our own collections to. We want Eclipse sleeves. We want Mythic Collection deck boxes, Satin Towers, Ultra Pro playmats. Ultra Pro even makes wall scrolls to go in your game room. They make awesome Eclipse dice, actually, is kind of a newer thing. It's not super new. They've probably been doing it for about a year or so now.
I just started using their Planeswalker dice, too.
Really. Oh, yeah. They have the with the Planeswalker symbol. They look really sweet. Yeah, I love the Eclipse dice because they're super crisp and clear.
And we use them on game nights, right?
Yep. Great for if you do content or if you play over spell table, something like that. UltraPro.com/command is our affiliate link for them. They have a direct-to-consumer e-commerce site now, which is great because if you can't find an item that you know UltraPro makes at your LGS, well, you can probably find it on their online store, and they also have tons of discounts and sales all the time. UltraPro.com/command. Check it out. You won't be sorry. All kinds of cool deals.
I just got 5 binders for a really great price. going to upgrade that collection.
That's awesome. You're gonna organize that collection.
Yeah, I'm going to organize the collection into mana. I got now my lands in one place. Okay, patreon.com/commandzone is the last way to support the show. It's directly. We love our patrons. There are an immense amount of benefits, and the only way you can find out about them is by getting them and signing up at Patreon. We're not going to talk about all of them now. In fact, we're just going to shout out one lucky patron who gets a shout out every single episode. So this week's episode is dedicated to
Robbie Strickland. Robbie, you rock.
Robbie, thanks, brother.
The way you worded that made it sound like Robbie gets a shout out every single episode.
He does. In my heart.
He should. Robbie should. Yeah, he does. We shout out a different random patron every single episode.
And Robbie. Okay, yeah. Moving on. Our favorite cards from Warhammer 40K, the pre-constructed sets. Yeah, 168 new cards total. That's
crazy.
A whopper.
Crazy amount.
So, shall we just dive in?
Yeah, so Jimmy and I just sort of picked our favorites that we're going to talk about from the set. Could be legendary creatures, could go in your 99. We're going to go through them in no particular order as our tablet rings here. Yeah, we're just going to go through the stuff we thought looked cool and sort of what we see with each of the cards. And yeah, let's just start, Jimmy.
Let's start
this
off.
One's yours.
With Vexillus Praetor. Prayer, I thought that was a magic thing. Turns out it's a multiple thing.
Yeah.
3 and a white for a 3/4 Custodes Warrior with Flash and Vigilance in an ability called Aegis of the Empire. Commanders you control have protection from everything. That's it. That's the card. It is granting the Progenitus effect of protection from everything to your commander at instant speed, 4 mana.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
Protection from everything is useful in a lot of ways, too, because protection is different than hexproof.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, it also can be bad, I suppose, if you want to, like, put an aura on your...
Yeah, that's right. A way to remember that I learned online is by the word debt, D-E-B-T, so you cannot be damaged or enchanted slash equipped or blocked or targeted. So if you play Light Pause, do not play Vexillus Praetor.
That would be bad.
Yeah, it would be very, very
and the auras that
bad.
Are on there now will fall off if you've given protection from the color of those auras.
Yep. Yeah, it'll just pop on and then shed everything else the moment that it gets those protections. So you don't want that to happen.
But the good side of this is that basically it's very hard for your opponents to interact with your commander now in any way. You can block anything coming at you. You won't take damage from that creature. So if they got a 10-10 and your commander's a 2-2, as long as it doesn't have trample, you're just going to block that for free because you'll have protection from whatever colors they are, everything.
Yeah, and your commander will be able to attack through pretty much everything. So
yeah, they can't even block it, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, think about like any of the swords. It gives protection and so often it's like swing at you and it's like, uh-oh, nothing on my board can block that.
Yeah.
I think any creature-based decks, especially combat-based decks, because it's really important for your commander to stay alive for more than one turn in those decks. Like, Light Paws can't do what it... Well, bad example, but a creature that wants to kill you has to do so over multiple combat steps.
Yep. I also think this is going to be really good in sort of Boros decks because the way red usually wipes the board is damage-based.
Yeah, totally.
So a regular board wipe, like Wrath of God, will still kill a creature that has protection from everything because it just prevents it from being targeted or taking damage. It doesn't prevent it from being destroyed. But Blasphemous Act doesn't destroy creatures. It deals 13 damage to them, which usually destroys them because that's enough damage to, you know, more than their toughness. But because protection works against damage, a Blasphemous Act, an Earthquake, something like that, a Pyrohemia.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that will be totally prevented. So if your deck has those cards, this is a way to protect your commander from that. Now, the Praetor will die, but at least the Blasphemous Act will go off and your commander will still be around afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, lots of decks want that to be the case here. And so I think we see a lot of this now, which is like the 4-mana slot is getting powered up by flash spells, enchantments, all that stuff. This reminds me very much of Akroma's Will, which is a mainstay in, again, creature-based decks and commander-based decks. So I expect this card to see a lot of use. And it's just one of those ones where if your commander is white in a creature and it's not just about one big flashy turn, if you need to stay alive, consider Vexillus Praetor.
I think it's sort of also, the good thing about it is it also can work on offense. So you can be in a situation where your commander's out, your opponent's, you know, stabilized at like low life, 5, 6, 7. And
Your
commander could hit, if it hits them, could take them out of the game. But, you know, they got blockers or ways to stop that attack. And you go, boom, Vexillus Praetor. And all of a sudden, they can't block you now because... You got protection from those creatures.
Yeah, or you really need a combat damage trigger, right?
Yep.
So lots of commanders need that. So I again, it's like, look for the 4-mana slot. This is going to be, I think, one of those ones that index these days. You get to choose like 3 to 4 max before it starts to get clunky, and then you draw too many 4-drops in your opening hand or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, you mean 3 to 4 max 4-drops in the whole deck?
Yeah, sometimes.
Wow.
I've realized that, as you know, we're in this weird world where the two slot has become this thing that powers on decks that go off, right?
Yeah.
With that in mind, that I think in order to balance it, we have to print a lot more cards that are higher up, that are really big and higher in impact. So maybe more of these four drops, and we'll play more four drops. But as a result, I think everything's just getting like squeezed around the edges, and it's really hard to make cuts now.
Really getting pushed down towards the low end of the CMC.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say that one of the downsides of this card is probably holding up four mana for protection is a lot these days.
It's like
days.
An awkward spot to be in. Right?
Yeah, because it usually means you can't do anything on your turn to hold up that four mana. So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
All right. The next one up is mine. I chose Shadow in the Warp. It is one, a red and a green for an enchantment. It says the first creature spell you cast each turn costs two less to cast.
Oh.
And then it says whenever an opponent casts their first non-creature spell each turn, Shadow in the Warp deals two damage to that player.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, this just seems very efficient. I don't know that there's going to be a lot of like in-depth combo-y synergy strategies to talk about. If you have 25 plus creatures in your deck, though, this is probably going to, you know, net you 8-10 mana over the course of the game.
Totally.
If you play it on turn 3, I suppose. It's a lot worse if you don't play, if you play it turn 6-7-8.
But even then, you play it and then the creature you spell, but you play after, because it's only 3 mana, it's going to be reduced. So you could have a turn where you're playing a 3 drop of this, and then, you know, it's now a 2 drop or whatever. So you have 5 mana spent. Fill in that mana curve really nicely.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I didn't really think about it that way, but yeah, it maybe is better later than I thought, because if it does on the same turn that you cast it, because this is a non-creature spell, so if the next spell you cast is a creature spell, it will be the first creature you cast that turn.
Yeah.
Then it kind of only costs one mana in that instance, right?
Yeah, that's right, because it goes from 3 down to 2. You lose a color along the way, but that's, yeah.
That's so pretty good.
Yeah, it buys it back quickly. I like this a lot. It feels like Sol Ring to me in creature-based decks.
Yeah, and the damage that it's going to cause to your opponents is probably going to add up.
Totally.
You know, this could, you, if you play this on turn 3, it's not crazy to think this will do 20 plus damage over the
course
of the game.
Have you ever played against a combo console allocation deck?
You're
like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I could do this to myself.
Yeah, so, and I think it gets even better too if you are able to cast your creatures at flash speed, because now that discounts.
Ooh,
yeah, because it says the first creature spell you cast each turn, not each of your turns,
nice,
cost two less to cast. So if you have Vidalcan Ori, Leyline of Anticipation, you have one of the other...
A lot of the werewolves and stuff have flash on them, right?
Yep. And like, there's what's the green creature she gives your creature splash?
Vivian?
There's a bunch of ways to give creatures flash.
Oh, yeah. Yeva. Nature's Herald, and then one of the Vivians, I believe, allows you to do it, yeah.
So if you have those cards in your deck and you're planning to cast your creatures at flash speed anyway, then all of a sudden getting extra two mana, it might come back to your turn and you've gotten 4 or 6 mana out of this thing. That's insane.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's like tapping your Sol Ring 3 times over the course of one turn.
Yeah, you're also definitely going to want to run every Beast Whisperer type creature in that deck, which you probably already do. So Shadow in the Warp seems like just a great spell. The fact that it does two very different things is what stands out to me, because normally the card will tie to itself, right?
Yeah.
But this one is just saying, hey, all your stuff's cheaper, and I'm just going to hit everyone a bunch.
I'm just going to deal a bunch of damage, yeah.
Yeah, sounds pretty good to me.
All right. What's the next one?
All right, the next one is one that I chose. And can we spoil that this is one of the cards that appears on the future episode of Extra Turns? Because we just did.
I guess we can. Without any other information.
Yeah, you will see this card soon on Extra Turns-ish. There you go. We'll get around.
Soon-ish.
I should be a lawyer. All right, this is a Celestine the Living Saint. 4 and a white for a 3/4 flying lifelink human warrior legendary creature. Healing Tears. At the beginning of your end step, return target creature card with mana value X or less from your graveyard to the battlefield, where X is the amount of life you've gained this turn. There we go.
So life gain, big payoff, and recursion.
Yeah, it seems like the kind of mono-white commander I would look for if I wanted to build something, I think, in the colors.
Yeah, pretty cool.
You need to buy a lot of stuff back here. She has lifelink as well, so she'll hit for 3. Lifelink. Flying, probably gonna be hard to block.
So at least you get a 3 CMC thing back.
Yeah, and then I think a lot of it too is like mono white doesn't have a bunch of ways to discard cards, so you're gonna want to play Key to the City. A card that I learned about recently that I haven't thought about is Anvil of Bogarden.
Oh, yeah,
each player skips their discard step, but during each player's draw phase, they draw an additional card and then chooses and discard a card. I also found Peace of Mind, 1 and a white for an enchantment. To pay a white, discard a card, you gain 3 life. Seems like the perfect card for this deck, because once you get more than 3 life, then white can bring back
huge stuff.
Avacyn, Angel of Hope. Is it that crazy to think you gain 8 life in the turn? Swing with like 3 lifelink creatures, use an effect.
I don't think it's that hard for white to gain that much life. I think the hard part is getting Avacyn into your graveyard, like you said.
Yeah, so just discarding it is a nice way to go about it. Because mono white does not give you many options, right?
I really like that Celestine triggers on your instep too. So the turn you play her, if you had some other lifelink life gain pieces, you could get something back right away if you've managed to put something into the bin. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool. I think the end step thing is really important because the Shanna Purifying Blade deck that I played definitely would have liked Celestine because Shanna says at the beginning of your end step, you can pay X and then you can draw that many cards. Yeah,
equal to the life gain.
But it's an end step trigger, which is good. So you want cards that actually gain you life in the beginning of your turn or not. There's a couple cards out there I was looking at that was like, at your end step, gain X life or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you want beginning stuff. If there's anyone out there that still plays Alloro, then this card seems really good in that deck as well.
Alloro used to be the number one EDH rec for years, most popular deck, and now you don't hear about Alloro much anymore. I bet Alloro is probably a little peeved about that.
Yeah.
But I used to be on top.
Yeah. But he's always sitting behind the scenes, so can he really blame anyone but himself?
Yeah, get off your throne, man.
Yeah, do something. Stand up for once. And then Lathiel the Bounteous Dawn, I thought Bounteous Dawn was really good too, because it's 2GW, 2/2 unicorn. At the beginning of each end step, if you gain life this turn, distribute up to that many +1/+1 counters among any under number of other target creatures. So now it just escalates itself. Mm-hmm. Your lifelinkers get bigger, and then you're bringing Elesh Norn back to the battlefield. And Elesh Norn, I think, is particularly good because it's one of those cards that when you do it, obviously for very obvious reasons, but it's your end step, so you can't use the creature to attack, but Elesh Norn has an effect immediately, and it will hold the table down at least until your next turn.
All right, the next card from the 40K product we're going to talk about is Tomb Fortress.
Tomb Fortress.
It's a land. It enters the battlefield tapped. You can tap it for black mana, or you can pay 2BB, so 5 mana total. You pay that, you tap the Tomb Fortress and exile it. And it says, mill 4 cards, then return a creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. Activate only as a sorcery.
I don't know. I like Takanuma a lot, Abandoned Mire. It's a land from Kamigawa that you can channel it to discard it. And you mill 3 cards and return a creature or planeswalker card from your graveyard to your hand. Mm-hmm. But this one goes straight to the battlefield. So it feels very good in a mono black deck. I think the new Braids is quickly risen up to be one of the top played mono black commanders, Arisen Nightmare, and it's pretty good in this deck as well. It says, at the beginning of your end step, you may sacrifice an artifact, creature, enchantment, land, or planeswalker. If you do, each opponent may sacrifice a permanent that shares a card type with it. For each opponent that doesn't, that player loses 2 life and you draw a card. So you're drawing a bunch of cards, you're throwing stuff in your graveyard, and Tomb Fortress in a mono black deck that can pay the 5 mana easily, thumbs up.
Yeah, and anytime you can get a land that has like a real effect that you are probably going to want at some point in the game, it just replaces a swamp for the most part, right? So the cost is very low. This reminds me of Port of Carfel.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a land I do have in a few decks. And Carfel actually doesn't even say activate only as a sorcery, which is kind of a big thing.
Yeah, it's true.
I think that's a big downside on Tomb Fortress. But still, I find myself, you know, Port of Carfel is Dimir only. Mm-hmm. So the fact that this goes in any deck with black makes it a lot more playable. But I've always liked Port of Carfel. So I think this effect being close to that just sort of says that, like, oh, this is going to be playable for sure.
Yeah, it's 5 mana. You definitely have to be able to create a lot of black. I think it works really well in mono black decks because, let's say it is turn 6 or 7 and you play Tomb Fortress, you still have your Cabal Coffers or whatever it is going on that allows you to tap for like 8 or 9.
And of all the colors, most black decks can create a lot of black because many of the best black cards, like Necropotence or whatever, require you to Bolas's Citadel, those type of cards. You probably already have some cards like that in the deck, in which case you're already equipped to make the right amount of the colors, right? So
yeah, and play more Dark Rituals, everyone. It's a really good card. You'd be surprised
how it used to be not that playable, but now the format is so fast that just getting something out early is more important than the card advantage.
And you've got cards like Tomb Fortress where the card advantage is so immense, and the milling on top of that. You know, I think this works great, I think, in like a Chainer Nightmare Adept deck or any Chainer deck really. And then Hogak, which cares a lot about the graveyard being filled with stuff.
All right. Next card is Biotransference. Interesting one, especially in black. 2BB, so 4 mana for an enchantment. It says, creatures you control are artifacts in addition to their other types. The same is true for creature spells you control and creature cards you own that aren't on the battlefield.
Ooh.
And then whenever you cast an artifact spell, which means, remember, it applies to that top part. Whenever you cast an artifact spell, you lose 1 life and create a 2/2 black Necron Warrior artifact creature token.
Wow, are you kidding me? Any artifact spell you cast creates a 2/2 on top of all that. And by the way, everything you're casting is now an artifact.
Yeah, basically. This seems very powerful, and especially because there are a lot of like sort of loops you can get into, or artifacts often are very cheap, or they cost zero.
Yeah. Or you play Foundry Inspector and any number of the artifact reducers, and now you're casting for free. Cloud Shift Key is the other big one here.
Ethereum Sculptor,
yeah.
Yeah. Often artifact decks are trying to get to the point where they're casting their artifacts for free or almost free.
Yeah.
And then kind of looping around through like, mirror retrievers and scrap trawlers and KCI. And that often bounces things or returns them from the graveyard to your hand, and you're casting them. And as you're doing that, I mean, if you have that really going, you don't need this. But if you're going to do not infinite, but just a lot, then this will just be like, oh, you incidentally, while you're sort of spinning your wheels, create 12 tutus. That's pretty good.
and also lose 12 life.
Yeah.
But the tutus are pretty good. And they're also artifacts. So if you have things to sack, Krug Clan Ironworks seems just like the absolute all-star here, too.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be a combo enabler, because if I cast an artifact spell and it makes another artifact and I have Krug Clan and Ironworks out or something like that, all of a sudden I can net mana in a situation where maybe otherwise I'd break even or lose mana. With Nim Deathmantle and things like that, there's probably all kinds of craziness I'm sure there are with this card. And even
Nim Deathmantle, good point.
Yeah, and even if you're not doing that stuff, just the incidental value of the tutus is just going to be very good. If you have 25 artifacts in your deck, you're probably playing a card like this.
Yeah. And a lot of decks that play Reckless Fireweaver, anything that pings people when artifacts come into the battlefield, and there's a bunch of Goblin Engineer, Goblin Welder type cards that want you to have extra artifacts laying around, and you need a sac outlet now. So everything, creature specifically, it's not like Mycosynth Lattice where everything becomes an artifact. So just creatures. But this has just combo potential written all over it.
Yeah.
All right. Which actually leads us directly into the next card. Segue. It's Ghostark. It's a 4-mana artifact vehicle, 3/3 with flying. What? You put a vehicle on here, Jeremy? That's right. Its ability is whenever Ghostark becomes crewed, each artifact creature card in your graveyard gains Unearth 3 until end of turn. And you can crew something by tapping a power of 2 of creatures between the creatures you control or just one.
Okay.
So this is busted, especially if you have a card like Biotransference out, because now everything, it says creature cards that aren't even on your battlefield or in the graveyard
are artifacts.
So Unearth, just to get the rules text out, you pay a cost, and it says return this card from your graveyard to the battlefield. It gains haste. Exile it at the beginning of the next end step. If it would leave the battlefield, exile it instead of putting it anywhere else and activate only as a sorcery. But typically Unearth costs are like 2 in a red. Yes. In the black. Now they cost just 3 color or generic mana.
Well, plus Unearth costs are usually directly related to the card itself. So if it's like a 7/7 that creates another 7/7 when it enters the battlefield, that Unearth cost will be 5 and 2 red or something crazy. I just made that card up, by the way.
Yeah.
But this just says, no, it's just 3. And I don't care if that thing's a 9-drop or a 5-drop or a 2-drop.
Yeah, it just costs 3.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of huge, you've got your Phyrexian Triniform stuff out there. You've got all of the massive artifact creatures. Everything from 40K, Academy Manufacturer, if you need to go off that turn. Alibu, Ancient Witness, but like Phyrexian Metamorph, right? There's a lot of value you can pull out from your graveyard. Not to mention the cards from 40K that I really like. Emotech the Stormlord. We'll read it because it's new. 2BB, whenever one or more artifact cards leave your graveyard, create 2/2 black Necron Warrior artifact creature tokens. So that's huge. And then at the beginning of combat on your turn, another target artifact creature gets +2/+2 and gains menace. And then Amrakir the Traveler, which I played in Game Nights, allows you to bring a artifact card back from your graveyard to the battlefield by paying life for its cost, and you want Amrakir to attack.
Yeah, this artifact recursion theme, which is kind of something Black hasn't been great at before.
Yeah, it's only until the Necrons arrived that it became a part of them.
But it really can get you in some interesting loops where you can do some cool stuff for sure.
Yeah, I also like this new card, Lich Guard. It's 2BB. You pay 4 and sacrifice it. Return all legendary creature cards from your graveyard to your hand.
Hmm.
So that seems like a mass recursion spell for those Legendary Matters decks.
Which there's a lot of now.
Yep. And as if you saw Game Nights, you will know that this card was comboed with Convergence of Dominion, which is a 3-drop. And it says, as long as you control your commander, activate abilities of cards in your graveyard cost 2 less to activate. This effect can't reduce the mana to less than 1.
So now it's Unearth 1 for all your artifacts?
Every single artifact creature. And you can just, at that point, if you milled yourself with, again, you can see all the synergy here are from the mono black Necron deck. Mill yourself, bring all that stuff back for 1 mana apiece. Whew.
Yeah, don't forget Unearth gives haste, so you can do things like Steel Hellkite out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
Those types of plays can really catch you up or you know, set back the arch enemy at the table at the time. And so, you know, yeah, if you can fill your graveyard with artifact creatures, Blight Steals out of nowhere can win games. Oh, I guess they can't be in the graveyard, can they?
Yeah, Blight that for that very reason.
Yeah.
Another thing about Ghost Ark is that it only does it every time it's crewed. It gives the ability unearth. Yeah. So if you unearth Stitcher Supplier and it comes in and mills you for three, then you actually need to crew it again by tapping two creatures with two power or whatever. And then,
so that the newly milled cards now have an earth?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Okay. And if you somehow find a way to get it back into the graveyard, which I don't think you can, I don't think you can unearth again.
Yeah, because if you unearth, if it's going to leave the battlefield, it gets exiled.
It gets exiled, yeah.
So, yeah.
And also, Zerda the Dawnwaker's effect will reduce the cost of it. So it's the same thing, similar to Convergence of the Dominion.
Abilities you activate that aren't mana abilities cost two. Oh, yeah, it just doesn't care what it is. Just
doesn't care what it is, yeah. Abilities anywhere.
That's very cool. All right. We are about to move on to the rest of the cards remaining from 40K that are our favorites, but I just realized we have to take a quick break first and hear a message from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we're back with the most toxic card in 40K. It's Toxicroak.
This card might be toxic.
Yeah, it might
be. That's on our little outline sheet.
Yeah. It's a party.
That's a pun, everybody.
Aha! It's barely a pun. I wonder if the person that invented Toxicroak went like, yeah, I just put a couple of words at the end of toxic. It's all right. It's a couple of letters.
All right. Toxicroak is 3 and a green for a 2/4 Tyranid. It has reach and death touch. And it says all lands have tap, add 1 mana of any color, and lose all other abilities. So all lands tap for all colors, but that's all they do.
That's all they do.
That's interesting. It's hard for me to picture the outcome of this. If, you know, is that going to hurt me or help me? Do I usually play more lands that do stuff than other people or fewer?
Yeah, and even if you don't play them at all, then it's great for you. If you're just playing, yep. All your lands are Chromatic Lantern, basically.
Yeah.
But I've seen Reliquary Towers out there, yep. Strip Mines that now have to get used, Field of the Deads that go out of control. So I think there are a lot of interesting lands out there. Bounce lands get really bad.
Yeah.
Because you play it and you return a land and... Unfortunately,
they would lose that ability.
Yeah, so it's just but the bounce land, it should be tapping for two, but it only taps for one now.
Right, true. But it just comes in as a normal land, so it's not that bad.
Yeah. But when you play it earlier in the game, I'm saying, lose a little bit of tempo there.
Because you lost the tempo already. And yeah, that's a good point.
It's really bad if you have like a Lotus Field.
Because you already had to sack the lands.
Yeah, when there's about if you sack two lands.
Ooh, that's brutal.
Yeah. And I don't know, have you ever lost to a Blink Moth Nexus?
Yes, definitely.
So I don't know what deck actually really wants to play this that badly.
Are you looking at it more from the aspect of it shuts off lands or from the fact that like it solves any color problems?
Because it definitely does that, but it also hurts yourself. So if you're like a five color deck that happens to have a couple of really important utility lands, mm-hmm. like a Glacial Fortress or whatever, well, not Glacial Fortress, Glacial Chasm, then this card probably not so great.
But I would say usually five color decks have less utility lands because they can't afford them.
Totally.
Whereas like monocolored and dual colored decks, like this hurts monocolored decks quite a bit.
Totally.
Because in general, you can have a lot more utility lands because if you only need red mana, well, you don't need to run 35 mountains.
You could almost go half-half.
You can be 18 and then you can run a lot more utility lands because you're not worried you're going to have red.
Yeah.
But then you get this ability where all of them tap for any color, but you really only need one color.
So yeah, you
that,
don't care.
That part didn't help you. Yeah, exactly. So I think it probably hurts mono decks the most.
Yeah, I agree with that. That makes a lot of sense. They are the most, they're the least reliant on having different colors of mana, and this will help out any decks that are like three colors plus.
But that kind of like asks the question, are you worried about monocolored decks to the point that you want to put a card that's good against them? Right? Like monocolored decks, I'd say in general, are already at a disadvantage. So I don't know that I need a card that puts them at a disadvantage. I think I would really just be worried about my own color fixing, and that's why I'm playing this card.
Yeah, it could just be incidental that it turns off other things. I like this as just a general, like, kind of balances the table out a little bit. And it's on a creature that, again, you're trying to do, right? It does two things that kind of are opposite in weird ways, but it's good if you're trying to, for instance, just fix your colors, and it's great if you're really great if you're turning off your friend's Guy's Cradle, or you know that there's always some utility lands that keep popping up and keep hurting you, your Karnfell, Caves of Karnfell, whatever, or Maze of Ith.
Yeah, definitely turns off some stuff that you might worry about. Kessel Wolf Run, those kind of things. Guy's Cradle for sure. Tabernacle. If you like, those are expensive cards, very expensive cards. And if you happen to be in a playgroup where somebody has cards like that, our playgroup is like this sometimes because, yes, I own a Guy's Cradle.
Well, that's why I play Strip Mine, right?
Yeah, but I don't own a Tabernacle, but some, like Craig does probably. Some people do. I know I've played against it. And so, you know, yeah, play your Strip Nines and stuff to get rid of that. But this is another way that maybe if you're a little more budget, you can catch up because dual lands become a lot worse.
Yeah.
Things like that. So it's like, okay, fine, play your fancy lands, but.
Well, dual lands still tap for anything.
Catches me up.
Yeah, yeah. It catches me up and it definitely turns off like tricky stuff.
Yeah.
Like Maze of Ith, I've found it to be a very pain in the butt card sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of decks have a real problem beating Maze of Ith,
which is fun.
All right.
All right. Next up, it is Magnus the Red. It's a new commander potential here. A lot of people have been talking about this. Magnus did nothing wrong.
Do you want to spoil where they might see Magnus the Red?
Yeah, in an Extra Turns episode, upcoming soonish.
The one with Celestine as well.
Yeah, the one with Celestine as well. Maybe
who do you
a
think
theme
Jimmy's
there.
Playing between Celestine and Magnus
the Red? I wonder why I chose this
guess
card.
Which one Jimmy might be playing.
Yeah.
You are contractually obligated to play this card.
I'm so glad when the email gets sent out. It's like, hey, everyone, choose your commanders. They're going to brew around it. I'm like, oh man, I'm glad I caught this email instantly because if someone else took the card, there'd be a problem.
Yeah, that's true. I think we would have to be like,
hey yeah.
I think you're going to let Jimmy play that one. Yeah.
Well, Magnus the Red, unfortunately, is not mono red. Fortunately, actually, because it makes him better. it's three, a blue and a red for a 4/5 legendary creature, Daemon Primarch. It has flying and two abilities. The first one says instant and sorcery spells you cast cost one less to cast for each creature token you control.
Okay.
Holy moly.
That seems crazy.
And then whenever Magnus deals combat damage to a player, create a 3/3 red spawn creature token. So it's all the parts of the card on the card. You got everything you need. Magnus attacking and hitting someone will give you that 3/3. Yep. And then it's going to reduce instant and sorceries by one for each creature token you control.
And the interesting thing is there are a bunch of instants and sorceries that they themselves create tokens.
Yes.
Which will then reduce the cost of the instants and sorceries that create more tokens till eventually mana is not a problem for you.
Yeah. So colored mana is the only problem because a lot of big X spells you might be thinking have like, it's X red, 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 or blue, blue X, you know.
Still, that doesn't seem like much of a hurdle.
No, not a huge hurdle, which is great. So cards like Magnus is a 5-drop, and you don't have natural great ramp, land-based ramp in blue-red, so you're playing a maybe turn 3 or 4. You want to get some cards out before that.
3? That's ambitious.
3 is ambitious. You need a soul ring for 2 or 3.
Yeah.
But cards like Dance with Devils, Dragon Fodder, Hordling Outburst, they're all... Dance with Devils is an instant, but they all create token creatures, basically.
And they're instants and sorceries themselves, so they get reduced and help reduce the other stuff. And you can play that before you play Magnus, right?
Yeah, importantly. Because I think if you cast Magnus and go past turn... not looking great for you because everyone will go, okay, kill Magnus instantly. Can't let that stick around.
But if you have two or three tokens and a couple mana up, now all of a sudden you might be able to protect it.
Yep.
You have something big up your sleeve because your cost is reduced.
Yeah, it's cool. Very, very powerful. A new card I keep talking about is Irenicus's Vile Duplication. It's 3 in the blue for a sorcery to create a token that's a copy of target creature you control, except it's got flying and isn't legendary. if the original creature is legendary.
Oh, it's kind of like Spark Double.
Yes, great comparison, because it makes a non-legendary copy of it.
Oh, so if you have three tokens out, let's say, oh, and that itself is a token?
Yeah, it creates a token.
So it counts itself. So let's say you have that and two tokens out, and your commander, you're now reducing by six.
Yeah, because you're doubling it up on the commander.
Oh my lord.
Or you might just have another creature out that you want to double and whatever, right? So like, it's very, very good. And then once you get all that mana, time to cast some big spells. Woohoo!
Yeah, and X spells seem great because they're just going to fit to however much mana you've got. So if you've got seven tokens, then fine, X is equal to seven at the very least.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of like Mizzix a little at that case.
Yeah, yeah. Mizzix, another very similar commander to this. So Geared's Belligerence is X red red, deals X damage, divided as you choose amongst any number of target creatures, and when a creature dealt damage this way dies, you populate. So again, it's like, oh, you're token, kind of like churning the engine even more because you're making another token, or multiple. Release the gremlins for XX and red. Destroy X target artifacts. Create X 2/2 red gremlin creature tokens.
Oh, wow. That's really good. Makes tokens and destroys stuff.
Keep it going.
Yep.
Rachel talked about this in a recent podcast episode, Stolen by the Fae. X blue blue. Return target creature with converted cost X to its hand. You create X 1/1 blue fairy creature tokens with flying.
I'm sensing a theme here.
This card is great.
Do something bad for two opponents. Make more tokens so
cast
that I
have even worse things.
Yeah. So the next thing I cast is even worse.
Yeah. Reality Spasm, X blue blue. You can tap X target permanence or untap X target permanence.
Oh, so you untap lands.
All
you
use your lands.
Your tokens, basically. Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah. And then Occult Epiphany, X and a blue. To draw X card, then discard X cards. You create a 1/1 for each card type among cards discarded this way. So land, artifact, creature, blah, blah. I really like Mascot Exhibition because you can just cast it for zero at some point.
Yeah, anything that just fully on is
colorless.
Yeah. It's going to be, well, it has to be an instant or sorcery that's colorless, if it is, yeah.
Yeah, so the way that I built my deck, a little bit of a spoiler, is I took a lot of inspiration from Manson, actually, because his Kaikar deck is all about taking a creature token and turning it into a monster.
Oh, polymorphing?
Yeah, so you can polymorph a lot of the creatures in the deck.
Oh, interesting, because you don't have a lot of actual creatures in the deck, because you have Hoarding Outburst and stuff that
make those creatures for you.
But if you polymorph, you can't hit them Hoarding Outburst, so you can safely put just like, you know, a handful of really big, scary things in.
Yeah, Jin Kataxius, whatever massive red or blue creature you can think of.
You could actually probably build the deck in a way where there's only one creature that you're going to hit when you polymorph.
Yeah, totally.
It'd probably be a little less exciting because
you know what's going to happen each time.
And you're not going to polymorph a second time because there's nothing.
I also find it really hard to not play Archmage Emeritus in this deck.
Oh, yeah, because you'd
be happy, though, to polymorph into that, for sure.
For sure, yeah.
But there's a new card called Chaos Mutation. There's Polymorph, Transmogrify, and there's Descent of the Dragons. Turns all your tokens into 4/4s, which is cool if you use it on your side as a board wipe. I think that's sort of how you win.
You could Brutaclad.
Yeah, Brutaclad seems very good in this deck, too.
Another win con.
Yep.
So, pretty dope.
Pretty fun stuff. It's a commander that I have to play, so I put a lot of time into thinking about how I wanted to play it.
No choice in that.
No
Usually
choice.
We choose where it's like, okay, everybody, first come, first served. You know, Jimmy and I will go last. You pick what you want, and then you build it. And on this one, you're like, I'm Magnus and Red.
I'm Magnus and Red. But right before they could even read the email, my reply was sitting in their inbox.
All right. Well, my legendary creature, not that this is the only legendary creature we're going to talk about, but the one that spoke to my heart is also an Izzet commander, Jimmy.
Oh, is it?
It's Gearson Starn Kellamorph. One, a blue and a red for a 3/2 Tyranid human. 3-mana 3/2 has Ward 2 and says, whenever another source you control deals exactly one damage to a permanent or player, Gearson Starn deals 2 damage to that permanent or player.
Whoa.
So it's a little Torbrand-y where it's going to increase the damage dealt, but he only cares if you deal one damage at a time. If you deal more than that, he just guns in the holsters.
How many people tweeted at you when this card came out?
A lot. And they weren't wrong. Because Tim decks, of course, and my Tim deck, for sure this is going in there.
Prodigal Sorcerer.
Yeah, because it deals damage in increments of one.
Yeah.
Very consistent. And what I do is untap Tim a bunch of times, but man, every time you do that, it's dealing 3 instead of 1. Wow.
Yeah. That seems like it would just, one, it's if it's the commander, then great, but if it wasn't, then this would be the best card in the deck. I feel like it amplifies it so much, that damage.
Yeah, and I don't think it's only useful for Tims. If there's just are a lot of good cards that deal damage in increments of 1. There's stuff like Pestilence, Pyrohemia.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, you know, obviously...
Wow, three damage each. It will kill.
It will cure Gearson, so you have to have a way to keep him alive. But given that you can do that, give him an indestructible or something.
Yeah, yeah.
That's big game. Impact Tremors is part that sees a lot of play. So whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, it deals one damage to each opponent. Well, now that becomes three damage to each opponent. That's better than Purphoros all of a sudden.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Gearson says whenever another source, so it can be pretty much anything.
Grape Shot. You know, we saw me use that recently.
Yeah. What was it, nine?
It was, I had 10 Grape Shots on the stack. Jeez. And Torwaku was making them all do two damage. Well, imagine with Gearson's Arm, they'd all do three damage.
Dang.
Yeah. Goblin Bombardment, a card that sees a lot of play. Sack a creature, deal one damage to any target. That becomes three damage.
Yeah, it goes great with the Impact Tremors deck.
Yep. Reckless Fireweaver.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Just brought up recently. The new Defiler for red. Defiler of Instinct. There's an interesting thing with Stuffy Doll, and Truck and I were talking about it, trying to figure out. It feels like there should be a way for it to go infinite.
Oh, right. So Stuffy Doll can tap to deal one damage to itself.
So then Gearson's Star...
And it's indestructible.
Yeah. So then Gearson's... So it'll deal one to itself, which will deal one to an opponent. But then Gearson's Star will deal two damage to Stuffy Doll, which will deal two to the opponent. But then it'll also see the one damage to Stuffy Doll dealt and deal two more damage, right? And we were trying to think of a way, well, how do we make the opponent taking damage deal one damage to Stuffy Doll so you can get a...
Oh, back and forth?
Yeah, like a feedback loop that kills them?
Maybe someone out there can figure that out, because that does seem like a very funny little math problem.
Yeah. Mana Barbs is a card that's near and dear to my heart.
Oh my gosh, three damage per land you tap?
Pretty much, like, if you play Mana Barbs and you have Gearson Starn out...
Game over.
It feels like the game is almost locked sort of right where it is. People can make very few moves before they'll die.
Yeah, totally. They have to get rid of it, otherwise they'll just tap five lands, take 15.
Yeah. Or you're just using Mana Rocks for the rest of the game and that's it.
Oh, right. Good point.
You can also give Gearson Starn Death Touch, so Basilisk Collar. I talk about this kind of thing all the time. But that turns, you know, one damage into lethal damage to any target. Giving Gearson Starn Infect seems really good.
Yeesh.
Because now all of a sudden you deal Impact Tremors. You just have to play like four creatures. Everybody's dead. I guess five. A lot of cool things. There was a question I had, Jimmy.
Yeah.
And I couldn't think of a card that fit the bill. But can you think of a card that prevents like one damage for your opponents
as a whole, or is it on a single?
Like, if anything,
instance?
It would have to say something like if a player
would, or
maybe we could say all damage reduced to players is reduced by one, or something like that.
Okay.
So the goal here is if you could get Gearson down to himself dealing one damage.
Right.
Now he says when another source deals one damage, he'll deal two to it. But what you could do is clone him.
Okay.
You can use the Spark Double or your, what was that card?
Irenicus's Vile Duplication.
And now, if you could deal the damage and Gearson would deal one damage, then the other Gearson would see that and be like, cool, you dealt one damage, I'll deal one damage. And then the other Gearson was cool, I'll deal one damage, cool. And then
just go off.
They say cool a lot.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the reason that Gearson is worded the way he is so that it doesn't trigger itself when he deals that damage.
So if you had two of them and you could somehow reduce it, I don't know. Maybe that doesn't exist or you can't do that. But
it's a seven-card combo, unbeknownst to man.
Totally fair.
Yeah, totally fair. And I will complain if it happens to me. Yeah, right. Very cool card, though. Do you think you're going to build something around it? Your Tim deck right now is a five-color deck, right?
No, it's not. It's my Tim deck right now is, what is it, Teemer.
Oh, Teemer, that's right.
I've been thinking of adding white because of Drum Bellower, and in that case, I think I just go to five-color.
Right.
I don't know. I just haven't done that yet. But Gearson can slide right in.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it already works. So I'm definitely putting it in the current Tim deck.
Okay, cool. All right, this next one's a fun one. It is Blood for the Blood God.
Blood for the Blood God!
Eight black, black, and red for an instant. And the spell costs one less to cast for each creature that died this turn. You discard your hand, then draw eight cards. Blood for the Blood God deals eight damage to each opponent, and then you exile the spell.
Wow. So very, very powerful if you can reliably cast it for, let's say, four.
Yeah, because holding up between 3 to 5 mana is the most I think you should generally reasonably be doing to stay in the game and do what you need to.
Maybe if your deck has a lot of instants,
yeah,
you can hold it up, but you're not paying 11, obviously.
No.
But the fact that, like, if a board wipe happens, you can then go dome everybody for 8 and refill my hand. This is better than most wheel effects because you end up with 8 cards in hand at the end of this. So even just like Toxic Deluge, then this can do it.
Right.
But there's a lot of times in games, I think, where like I'm ahead on board, and if the board stay how it is, I'm going to win. They have to basically wrath me for me to lose. And I can just kind of hold this being like, well, at least if they wrath me, I have a consolation prize of a lot of
fresh eight cards. Yeah, and, stuff in the graveyard.
And everybody's down by eight, which, you know, that can matter. Or you could even Fury Storm this thing maybe if you cast it for three. That's 16 to everybody.
Jeez.
No, maybe more, 24 to everybody.
Yeah, the eight damage seems really relevant, especially post-board wipe, because that's when players are the most able to get smacked by haste or something scary that's big. So you have now eight cards, and you've done eight damage to everyone, and you can recover, do something cool, hurt them all.
And in Aristocrats decks where you're just going to be sacking creatures and you're probably going to have a turn where you sack the same creature.
That's right. You can do it yourself.
Yeah, or multiple creatures. But you get that, you know, you don't have to do eight. Even four or five is pretty good.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times when you're doing that, it's Ashnod's Altar, it's Phyrexian Altar, it's things are creating mana.
Or Viscera Seer. You just need a sack outlet. Yeah. I really like being able to do this at instant speed. That's the big one here.
Yeah.
Because if this was sorcery, this would be, barf.
So, yeah, I just think this is a pretty good card, and we're probably going to see it a decent amount.
Yeah, and when it gets cast for like three or four, you're going to clutch your head in your hands and go, no, yeah, what?
It's so much value for so little mana.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that with Toxic Delusion if you're doing it on your turn, because it's a very cheap board wipe that can probably kill everything.
Yeah, and it only costs you six mana to do both. You might even have mana left over to even cast one of the eight cards that you drew.
Because now you're at eight, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, let's talk next about what is clearly the most powerful card. Do you agree, in the entire 40K set?
It's just in the name.
It's funny. We were talking with Posty the other day.
This was really funny.
And he's like, I'm building, you know, new 40K commander decks. And I was like, I know what card you're building. It's Trazen the Infinite. And he's like, how did you know? I'm like, because it says infinite right in the name.
It's right there. Yeah, it's very powerful. It's four black for a legendary artifact creature, Necron. That's a 4/6 with death touch. And as long as Trazen is on the battlefield, it has all activated abilities of all artifact cards in your graveyard.
It's Necrotic Ooze.
For artifacts.
It should have said non-creature artifacts, at least, I think. I think that's the mistake.
There's no mistake here. It's Trazen the Infinite. Otherwise, it would be Trazen the Near Infinite.
It would still be infinite. It would just be less infinite.
Well, yeah, that's not how Infinity exactly. Works. Yeah. It might be how Infinity works. We're still not quite sure. There's a lot of research, a lot of theorizing. Yeah, so what can you do, Josh, to win the game on the spot?
I mean, there's a million, and that's why it's called the Infinite, because it is very easy to go infinite with this card.
Totally.
Basalt Monolith with almost anything. Pilipala could just infinite untaps of itself, because remember, it has all of the Basalt Monolith abilities and all the Pilipala abilities. Pilipala has the untap ability on it.
Yep.
To untap it to make a mana of any color. So you end up floating a mana when you do that, but it costs you two.
Because you're tapping three for Basalt and then paying three to untap it, or you pay two to untap it, so you get one extra, yeah.
Yeah, so you go tap it for three from Basalt, use two of that to untap it with Pilipala, and now I have two mana, because Pilipala made a mana when it untapped, and I had one left from Basalt Monolith.
Yeah.
Tap it for three now for Basalt, and do that again, and I have infinite mana, very easy. Yep. Anything that taps for four or more mana will go infinite with Basalt. And remember, you don't have to have these artifacts. You don't have to cast them. They're just sitting in your graveyard.
Yeah, very easy to get them there, especially in the mono black deck.
So another card this works with is Chromatic Orrery.
Yeah, the Chromatic Orrery, because it makes a whopping five mana. But the nice thing about Chromatic Orrery is you never have to actually have it hit the battlefield, Josh. You can throw it to the graveyard where it belongs.
I don't want to talk about card back or, I don't want to have it in my deck at all.
Yeah, did you see that commercial where that card got played on you to end it? I don't know if y'all have seen this, but we all see the commercial with our good friend Post Malone where he played. It feels like a simulation now because it's come full circle, clearly. Chromatic Orrery
is
very powerful.
It's because Posty and I have this thing where I think Chromatic Orrery is, and you've all heard me talk about it, I think this card's garbage.
Yeah.
There are only very few decks where it's good. This is one of them. There's a few. There's a Teferi Chain Veil deck, which I do have, that it is good in.
Ah, yeah. The truth arrives.
But I don't think this card is like good, like put it in very many decks, but he likes it a lot more than I do. So yeah, in that commercial, that's the reason he insisted, like, I want to play Chromatic Orrery.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody from Wizards who's on the set was like, what, Chromatic Orrery? And they're like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's why Chromatic Orrery gets played in that commercial about Friday Night Magic.
Because he was like, eat that, Josh. Everyone's going to think it's awesome now.
Yeah. And it is awesome for that reason. You got cards like Buried Alive in this deck. You have Entomb, all that stuff. Don't forget, it's creatures and non-creature artifacts.
Buried Alive's instant win in this deck. If anybody casts Buried Alive and they're playing Trazen, you're going to lose unless you counter it. because there are a million different cards that they can put in the graveyard that will combo.
Yeah.
It's very hard for them not to combo if they do this. It's Metalworker with Pilipala will do it.
Oh,
Walking
yeah.
Ballista, your third card, is your win condition. Phyrexian Devourer with Walking Ballista, you don't even need another card. That'll go infinite. There are just so many that we don't have to list them.
Yeah, because the card becomes the artifacts. He gains all the effects. Yeah, Necrotic Ooze, everyone.
Staff of Domination is another piece. You can't get it with Buried Alive. You can get it with Entomb.
Oh, yeah.
But because it says pay one to untap it, then that works again with Basalt Monolith and all
very
the other
simple.
Stuff.
Very yeah. simple.
So this is going to be a scary deck. It's going to generally probably win the turn.
It comes out.
You play Trazen. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Because, it again, artifacts. It's so powerful. You can Dark Ritual out Trazen early. Yep. You got so many ways to make tons of black mana. Yeah, you'll get
And you have all the tutors, so you can just... Oh, you didn't draw Buried Alive? Well, Vampiric for it or Demonic for it. Yeah, or, you know, it's very there. Easy to get it. Yeah. So that I think if it would have said non-creature artifact,
yeah,
it would have been still combo-y
really, really
still
powerful.
Can do a lot, but the Buried Alives and stuff wouldn't work as well, and I think it would be a little bit better.
Yep.
Entomb would still work, though.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Those are our favorite cards. Not really Trazen. We just felt we kind of had to talk about it because it's so powerful from the set. But I wanted to talk about two cards at the end of this, Jimmy. That I think are kind of being overrated.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And by overrated, I mean, if you look online right now at the pre-sales, or I guess it's just the sales at the time you're watching, but for us, it still is pre-sales.
They're up there.
Yeah, it's coming out in like a day. These two cards are like two of the top cards, like price-wise. So somebody's buying them. They're expensive, and I don't understand why, so maybe you can explain it to me.
Sure, we'll see. I doubt it, because we tend to agree about these things. All right, first up is the Golden Throne. It's a 4-mana legendary artifact, and it says, if you would lose the game, instead exile the Golden Throne, and your life total becomes 1. And then it has a tap, sacrifice a creature, add 3 mana in any combination of colors. So, again, two very different things here. The first one says, hey, you're not going to die. You can exile this thing and your life total becomes 1. So, it saves you, like Angel's Grace, a lot of those types of cards. And then the second one, you're just adding a bunch of mana to tap it and sacrifice a creature. So, 3 mana.
Yeah, it's a conditional mana rock.
Yeah.
Whereas, if you want mana, there are way better rocks. I mean, Thrawn Dynamo is just a card that exists.
Right. And 4 mana tap for 3.
And you don't have to sack a creature to get that. I realize some decks do want to sacrifice creatures, but it's way better to just know that this is going to work with no help.
Yeah, it feels a little clunky to me because on turn 4, you want to be doing something cool and impactful. And unless your plan is specifically to sack creatures and then you want to use that mana for other stuff, I don't know. It seems really interesting. It's like you have to want to be able to sacrifice creatures, and you need to have creatures to sacrifice. Otherwise, this does nothing the turn you play it.
Yeah, I mean, you could be an Aristocrats deck that does want to sack creatures, but you play this on turn 4, and all you've got out is like a setup piece that you don't want to sacrifice.
Yeah.
In which case, this card, it does stone nothing, and it's not going to do anything for a little while. Maybe next turn you're going to play a creature that you want to sacrifice, and it gains 3 mana, but you lose that's like the equivalent of it coming into play tapped or something.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that first ability is not even that good. You mentioned Angel's Grace.
Yeah.
If you compare it to Angel's Grace makes it so you can't lose the game for the rest of that turn.
Right.
This doesn't even say that. Just put your life total to 1. Let's imagine they killed you with poison.
Oh, I'm going to lose the game. I'm going to exile the Golden Throne. It's going to come back, and then I'm going to lose the game again.
Yeah, because I still have 10 poison. It didn't take any of the poison
I'm
counters
in a
away.
Death state, right.
Yeah, if they have something that's dealing persistent damage, they just do 1 more.
Right.
You know, my Tim deck is just like, cool.
Cool, thanks.
You go to 1, and now I tap it again. You know, if they have double strike or something, you could die on the first hit.
Yeah.
Go to 1, and then the second, you know, regular combat damage comes through. It's just not an ironclad... You know, you're going to live like some of these cards kind of are. I think this would get a lot better if it had kind of that clause.
Yeah, totally. It doesn't seem that great. Again, 4 mana, it becoming more and more crowded because there are a lot of powerful options here. Doesn't seem like something I would necessarily want to play, even in decks that want to sack creatures.
Yeah, I don't know why it's pre-selling for next for so much. And the next card is a little bit similar, not the exact same. It's Scepter of Eternal Glory, another 4 mana legendary artifact. You can tap it to add 1 mana of any color. It's a 4 mana rock, don't forget. Or you can tap it to add 3 mana of any one color. Activate only if you control 3 or more lands with the same name.
Okay. Do decks need this? I don't think so.
Again, Thrawn Dynamo is a card that already exists. Look at this card and compare it to Thrawn Dynamo.
Yeah.
Thrawn Dynamo is just better, right?
The only thing that's different here is mana of any color.
Right.
So Golden Throne gives you mana in any combination of colors, and then Scepter says either it's just a 3-mana rock that taps for 1 mana of any color, but it's a 4-mana rock, or you can add 3 of one specific color.
But you have to have 3 lands of the same name.
So that means you're probably playing a mono or a dual color deck, because it's once you get the 3 colors, it's tough to sometimes get 3 mountains out or whatever.
3 islands is even tough. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're playing a dual color deck, in general, color is not a problem for you.
Right. So you don't even care about the fact that you're adding a specific color. Unless, again, you're mono black and you cast a difficult spell. But at that point, you know, I would rather just have Thran Dynamo.
I think in almost all cases that you can reasonably consider, all scenarios, Thran Dynamo is going to be better than this card in almost all of them.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Which, by the way, Thran Dynamo, a card we've mentioned a lot in this overrated category, is not a card that people play very much because it doesn't meet the bar anymore, right?
Yeah.
You have to have specific synergies for Thran Dynamo to even be good anymore. And so, yeah, these cards, like pre-selling above $10, I think above $15 for a while, maybe they're not like that anymore, but that is perplexing to me, and I think they're both being overrated. So my suggestion to everybody out there is, like, I don't think these are good unless you have specific synergies.
You can untap them, right? There's a lot of Manifold Key, Voltaic Key. Those are better with these cards, but at the same time, they're still not great.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Again, watch out for that 4-drop slot. It's getting a little hot in here.
Super crowded.
Yeah.
It's getting hot in here.
Yeah, it's getting... guys, can you back off?
It's getting... That's what we should have said.
It's a little smothering, you know? It's... all right. To the listener, what is your favorite card from the Warhammer precons? What do you think is the most powerful card from the set? Is it the Infinite Person?
Trazin.
Necron thing? Yeah, or is it something else with more colors? Who knows? But how about this? Is there any card in the set that we didn't talk about that you would like to talk about? How about non-commander powerful cards, right? Because it could be not Mr. Infinite. Who knows?
Well, I mean, I think you still talk about the commanders. If you like Marnius Khalgar or something, who's a cool card. That,
yeah, Marnius Khalgar, very cool.
Yeah, yeah. Please list in the comments and list out some cool synergies you see. We couldn't cover every card. We're just not going to have time.
Yeah, we'd fall so far behind the other cards that are just being dropped on us.
Yeah, so help us fill in the gaps there. And for everybody else, talk about the cool stuff you see for the new cards from Warhammer 40,000.
And 1,000 thanks for using our promo code at cardkingdom.com/command. We're back with Card Kingdom. We couldn't be happier. They have great shipping, great service, and they have a huge inventory. So many cards from the history of Magic. Sometimes you don't get all of them from a single store. Your LGS might be missing something. Card Kingdom has them all in one handy-dandy place. They also will do great sales on things like they'll do like cool like pre-built decks to learn Magic from. So even if you're a novice player looking to get into the game, Card Kingdom is going to have something for you. So check it out, cardkingdom.com/command, and get the cards quickly because they have great service and it's very speedy.
Yeah, and of course, once you get your hands on those cards, you don't want anything to happen to them. You want to keep them in great condition. Ultra Pro sponsors the show. They make the products that Jimmy and I trust our own collections to. Really do have all of my decks in Ultra Pro sleeves of some kind. Eclipse. I used to say they're all in Eclipse sleeves, but I actually have some in now, the printed sleeves.
Because they
have cool art. Yeah, and sometimes it's like, well, I've got this commander and I have this playmat and I want it all to match. So
I've got mine in the Game Night sleeves that we sold on Kickstarter exclusively, and those are made by Ultra Pro, so we trust them.
And those have lasted a long time. I have my draft sleeves are the Game Night sleeves that we made by Ultra Pro. And I've done 25 drafts or so with them. And they are still in just great shape. Every once in a while, you just wipe them off a little. They get a little dirty. But besides that, they will protect your cards for a long, long time. So Ultra Pro really makes really high quality stuff that's going to protect all of your game pieces. Go to ultrapro.com/command. That's the best place to buy all of your Ultra Pro products besides your local game store.
Correct.
If you have an LGS that's near you, they're probably going to carry some amount of Ultra Pro products. We definitely want you to support local businesses. But if you can't find it there, ultrapro.com/command is where you're definitely going to be able to find it because that's directly from Ultra Pro.
Yeah, and that's what I did. I was like, I need to buy 6 binders.
Yeah.
And my LGS
you want them to match
2, you know, and it's like, okay, cool. I'm just going to get them all from one place and they happen to be, you know, 50% off or whatever just today.
Yeah, Ultra Pro on that website has a lot of discounts, which is cool.
All right. Thanks.
We got to do the end step. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. End step. I haven't done one of these in a while.
Yeah, I've got one.
Okay, go for it.
It's time for the end step where we talk about something cool outside the world of Magic. We haven't done this a lot lately because in set reviews are so long, we tend not to do them.
Yeah.
I've got a cool show that I've been watching.
Oh, there's lots of them out right now.
Oh, there are so many. Yeah, I won't talk about the obvious ones, but there's a show on Hulu and it's called Welcome to Wrexham. Have you heard about this show?
Oh, it's about the football league, the Premier League?
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney
from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and also from, what is it, Raven's Banquet or Mythic Quest?
Right, Mythic Quest, totally. Ashley Birch.
Yep.
Good friend of the show.
So Ryan and Rob teamed up to buy like a, it's kind of like a minor league soccer, we're going to call it soccer in the United States.
Right, football, not Premier League.
Yeah, football team in the UK, in Wales.
Uh-huh.
And they just decide, they don't know a lot about football or soccer, but it's kind of like, you know, they are wealthy people that decided that, like, oh, well, they probably can't afford, like, you know,
a
Premier League team or whatever, but yeah, and they're going to buy it and try and fix it up and try and, the way that soccer works in Europe is, that you at the end of the season, if you are the best team, you move up into a better league.
Right.
And if you're among the worst teams, you move down. And so they're going to try and take this team and get it up to the Premier League or get it towards the Premier League or whatever.
Wow.
And it is just kind of like one of those wish fulfillment things where it looks really fun to do.
Yeah.
Like,
if you ever dreamed of owning a soccer team,
yeah,
now's your chance.
Or just a sports team in general. It's like, I used to play baseball All-Stars on like the Nintendo, and it feels like they're kind of getting to do, and they're nice guys. Like, at least for the show, they're doing a reality show around it. That's what this is about. You know, they're helping, they're doing things for the community and other things that are coming up.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's great that they're making a reality show while they're doing it, because it kind of does force them to do things like that. Do little...
Yeah, they can't just not really put effort into it. They got to actually try.
Right, and they have to be nice to the community, and they have to do things like upgrade the stadium and make it more, you know, wheelchair accessible.
Oh,
and, like,
cool.
Have little, you know, events in the town, and they do little, you know... They interview and follow around people who've been fans of the team for a while, and you really get to know, like, you know, Wrexham is kind of a medium-sized town by American standards, but...
That's cute.
Yeah, but it's cool. You kind of get to know the people in the town, you get to know the players a little bit, and yeah, I've really enjoyed the show. It's still going on, as far as I know, at the time you're watching this, so welcome to Wrexham. You can find it on Hulu.
Yeah, you cannot beat the PR capability of Ryan Reynolds.
Oh my gosh.
He is
it's crazy.
A
he like
king.
Yeah, TikTok, Twitter.
Did you see him, the Hugh Jackman thing?
Oh, yeah, so good.
Like, my goodness, man.
What I've realized by watching the show, because we do a reality show, right? Game Nights is a reality show.
Yeah.
Is that Ryan Reynolds just has a team of writers walking around. There's clearly a team of writers walking with him at all times, because there's no way the guy is that snappy at all times. You know, there's somebody said, say this. There's got to be. I have to believe that.
Got to check the footage. Roll the tape.
Yeah.
All right. Big thanks to our amazing team here at the Command. Oh, wait. What's it called again? Welcome to
Wrexham.
Wrexham.
Hey, how'd you know that?
I saw a picture or something online. And
the one sheet just flashed in your mind just now?
Yeah, I thought, that's Ryan impressive. Reynolds. Yeah. Well, it also makes sense. I think I knew that town existed beforehand.
Okay.
All right. Big thanks to our amazing team here at the Command Zone. Damon Lenz, Arthur Meadowcroft, Ashlyn Rose, Lady Danger, Manson Lung, Craig Blanchett, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Patrick Nan, Jordan Bridgen, Sam Waldo, Grav Galati, Truck Ty, Jamie Block, Mitch Trafford, and Evan Limburger.
And special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer for the Lim Card animations that begin our show. You can find him on Twitter at LivingCardsMTG.
All right, everyone, go conquer the known universe.
Yeah,
Warhammer cards.
In the grim darkness of right now, go buy these cards and wage war across the galaxy. Blood for the Blood God!
For the Imperium.
For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.